Welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, recovery coach professional. Do you love food, alcohol, drugs, sex, social media, cigarettes, or gambling a little too much? The traditional narrative says that addiction to these vices is the problem. The truth is, they are just symptoms. This hit show takes you from recovery to your ultimate life as my special guests and I help you discover how underneath every vice is the addiction to the suffering that developed due to unhealed trauma. So what can you do? Hungry for Answers provides groundbreaking, proven solutions from my best-selling spiritual book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. It's time to stop suffering and start living your ultimate life. You have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. Hungry for Answers starts now. Hello, everybody. It's Robin Clare. Welcome to Hungry for Answers. Today is a special day for me because I thought I would take the time to talk with you about The Divine Keys. It's the second book that I wrote. It's called Illuminating. The tagline is Illuminating the Path to Oneness. So I'm sorry for folks who are listening on the podcast, but for those who are listening live, if you can see the cover, there's a picture of a heron. And what happened for me, I was walking on my favorite beach, Good Harbor Beach in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and I was the only one on the beach at this particular sunrise. And all of a sudden, I see this magnificent bird come flying towards me with these long arms, and I wasn't really sure. And then the bird, the heron, landed next to me. And I had the presence of mind to take a quick picture, but then it walked with me the rest of the beach. And you know, this book is called The Divine Keys. It's about living a divinely guided life. And so I was just in such incredible gratitude to have this heron walking with me. I had no idea why it was walking with me. And I later I came to find out that there are no herons in that area. So why it showed up, I wasn't really sure until I decided to use it on the cover of the book. So let me share with you from the book about the white heron. The white heron kept the author company at sunrise on Good Harbor Beach in Gloucester, Massachusetts. One of the locals said that a white heron was a very rare sight in these parts. Nature is one of the many sources through which divine wisdom is available to each and every one of us. And as a divinely guided person, Robin was curious to know what message the heron had brought for her. The heron is a beautiful creature, exhibiting grace and noble stature. In Egypt, the heron is honored as the creator of light. In China, the heron represents strength, purity, patience, and long life. In Africa, the heron is thought to be communicate with the gods. Native Americans revere the heron as a symbol of wisdom. On that day, Robin resonated most with this message. As a water creature, the heron is a symbol of going with the flow and working with the elements of Mother Nature rather than struggling against her. Deeply drawn to the ocean and all of nature, Robin became even more inspired to complete this book, The Divine Keys. So this book I wrote Messiah Within, my first book with Yeshua, who many of you know as Jesus. It was called Messiah Within, a divine to living your inner divinity. And I wrote the book, and I had a wonderful coach, and I wrote it. And about a year later, after it was out and published, Yeshua returned to me in a dream. And he said to me, "Come and teach with me where I am." And when I woke up, I'm just trying to remember the story. "Come and teach with me where I am." And I said in the dream, "I don't think so. I don't want to leave now. My family will not be able to get along without me." And he said to me, "Well, then just teach where you are, Robin." And so when I woke up, I thought, wow, Yeshua just like you know, schooled me here. Like, and so what am I doing that I'm not following the teachings of the Messiah within? And so I decided to write another book and look for him. So I found these 18 keys to a divinely guided life, but I wrote this entire manuscript. And when I handed the manuscript to the editor, she came back with feedback and she said, "Robin, this book sounds like you're whining." And I said, "I am whining. It was hard. It was hard to uncover these keys and hard to find out what was I doing in my life that I couldn't be connected to the divine as much as I wanted to. And I wasn't doing what Yeshua asked me to do." And she's like, "Well, I suggest you put the book away and come back to it when you can look at it and redo it without whining." So I put the book away, and the following summer, the first day I saw, when we were on our family vacation, this is when I saw the heron. But the next day I was walking with my son, Garrett, and I looked at him and I said, "I've got it. I know what to do now with the divine keys. I need to take out all of the whiny part, basically all of the stuff about me, and just get down to the actual key, the divine key." And then what I would do is I asked Garrett if he could provide me with some of his beautiful nature photography. So I know I'm doing a visual again, sorry for those who are just listening. But basically on the left page is one of Garrett's pictures. And then on the right page is just a very simple teaching. And so you could imagine that I had to take an entire manuscript and get down to 40 pages. And that was not easy. In fact, my mom helped me with that. She was an English major in college and many years ago. And so she helped me to decipher what the actual key was. So today what I'd like to do is go over each of these 18 keys with you as part of this podcast segment. So let's start with the first key. So the first key is called Discover Your Spiritual Identity. And I'm just going to read the keys because they're very short. The spiritual journey begins on the inside and expands into the world you see. It officially begins when you declare your intention as, "I am a spiritual being having a human being experience." At your deepest point of stillness, you begin to hear your inner voice whispering, "I am one with all." Please know that this loving presence has always been a part of your life. You just may not have been aware of it before now. So throughout the book, this presence will be called the divine. To know the divine more deeply, step into your spiritual journey with a sense of curiosity, awe, and desire. You are beginning to actively seek out information that resonates with your new inner experience. Life becomes exciting and interesting as you awaken to the most profound truths in your life. So I was thinking about a story in regards to this first key, and I was thinking about what really brings me closer to my divine nature. And obviously, from what I shared before, being on the beach, being on Good Harbor Beach, being on any beach, but especially Good Harbor Beach, it's almost as if the moment I step onto the sand, I'm with the divine. I'm with the elements. I'm with the sand, the air, the smell, the sea, and me. And I become one with those elements. So the divine is not just God or goddess. The divine is not just angels or guides. The divine is not just your deceased loved one. The divine is anything that brings you closer to your own inner guidance and wisdom and inner divine nature. So your soul, a part of your soul, lives inside of you during this incarnation. That's your divine source. You are spirit, because your soul lives inside of you. And so anything that connects you to anything like that is being connected to the divine. So I can't be at the beach all day long, unfortunately, every day. So what else do? I step outside. Like, the moment I step outside, there's a connection to the air again, to the wind, to the clouds, to the sun, to the smells, to the birds, right? So even just stepping outside automatically brings me into that flow of nature. And so I would recommend that it as well. And in fact, I have a spiritual mantra myself called Bring It On. And so I'm very open to receiving guidance from the divine. And therefore, that's why I'm able to write these books, but also because I want to know as much as I can about this spiritual being that I am living on the earth plane. All right, thanks. That's number one. Okay, the second key is meet your spiritual support team. Now that you have committed to your spiritual journey, it's important to know that you are not alone. In fact, you have such a big team accompanying you that once you feel their presence, you may never feel alone again. Your spiritual support team are manifestations of the divine. Your team is comprised of spiritual masters, angels, spirit guides, deceased loved ones, and earth angels, which include family, friends, coaches, and teachers. Each member of your spiritual support team plays a unique role in your life. As you begin to acknowledge them, you will become aware of all the help that they can provide you. Your non-earthly spiritual support team will not intervene unless you ask for help. So important. Remember that. Once you receive the help, you will have free will to either follow or not follow the guidance. Included in the upcoming keys are tools to help you connect with and fully utilize your spiritual support team. So this week has been tough for me. Both my elder parents got COVID, and it's been a tough week. And I had some projects that needed my attention at work. And I just asked the divine, can you bring me ease? E-A-S-E, ease. And then what happened was the two toughest projects, I heard from my two partners on them, and they said, both of them said, I think that I should lead the project and you assist versus me lead the project and them assist. And I immediately said, thank you, divine. Thank you for that ease, because that allowed me to not have to worry about how was I going to get these two projects done this week. So ask for ease. And so if you, in that scenario, you could say that the divine provided the ease, but my earth angel team, which may be comprised of my two partners here, you know, they're part of my earth angel team. They came to help me and to make it easier for me. All right. The third key is heal your heart. A key aspect of the spiritual journey is to bring your heart back into a state of emotional and energetic wholeness. Yeshua has shared that every person on the planet experiences a broken heart in one way or another. This can happen in many ways, from an unrequited love to the loss of a loved one. When your heart gets broken, you begin to love by giving pieces of your heart away. However, this way of loving does not truly serve yourself or others. The best way to serve yourself or others is to retrieve all the pieces of your broken or shattered heart. Only when you have retrieved all the pieces of your heart can it become healed and whole. From a healed heart, you will be free to love more deeply and unconditionally. So I have included the Heart's Temple ceremony, how to retrieve the pieces of your heart energetically, in the back of the Divine Keys, but you're also welcome to email me at robin@clarity.com. That's clarity.com. And I will send you the directions on how to do the Heart's Temple ceremony. So I want to just talk about one of the pieces of it. Whenever I've done the Heart's Temple ceremony with clients, I'm available to do that as well. They're always scared to get the pieces back. And I think the reason that they are is they feel like if they take that piece back from, let's say, their son or daughter, then they've severed the connection. But what really happens is because we've learned to love by giving pieces of our heart away, we begin to shield our own, what's left of our own heart energetically. And so when we get all the pieces back and we energetically seal them into our heart center, then we are loving from a whole heart. And that is a beautiful thing. You know, then when you love your son or daughter from a whole heart, then you really begin to have a magnificent relationship with them. So don't be afraid to do the work to return the pieces, because what you will be able to give going forward is much, much more profound. All right, moving on to number four, the fourth key, optimize your health and well-being. Imagine if the divine was coming to your home, your temple, and it was a mess. It is true that the divine lives inside you, and it is true that your body is your temple. Do you maintain it as a dwelling worthy of a divine presence? Your inner voice or intuition is your own private connection to the divine. What you eat, the purity of the water you drink, and how well you breathe, these factors affect your brain and heart, which determines how well you can hear and heed the divine's guidance. When you are healthy, there is more joy, peace, love, and light shining in your temple. This creates the ideal scenario for establishing greater spiritual connection. It is also necessary to replace destructive patterns and self-limiting beliefs with ease, with ones that empower you to stay positive. Connecting with members of your earthly spiritual support team can provide the support needed to become physically and spiritually fit. So what we're talking about is recognizing yourself as your own sovereign with your own temple and having high standards for your life in regards to your own health and well-being, and holding those standards with impeccable integrity. Number five, awaken into oneness. You came from oneness and you will return to oneness. However, it has become part of the human experience to feel separated. When you feel the divine presence inside of you, you begin to move with a feeling of separation into oneness. This is the essence of the spiritual experience on earth, the journey back to knowing and feeling that you are one with all inhabitants on earth and beyond. To feel oneness, you must be very present. This means being focused on what is happening in this exact moment of time, not regretting what happened in the past, nor worrying about what might happen to you in the future. So, you know, the media, politicians, all designed to create separation in mankind. So how can you see the oneness? How can you recognize that we are the same, but uniquely different? And then the sixth key is access the wisdom of your heart. This key requires that you have completed the heart's temple ceremony at the back of the book, and now it's time to access the wisdom of your heart. So we are trained to make decisions using the logical aspects of the mind, yet a decision made from the healed heart is twice as powerful for realizing the highest and best outcome of all. So to access the wisdom of your healed heart, you must quiet your mind. Only from this place of quiet stillness will the highest answers to your pressing questions come into your awareness. And so you need to, when I was writing Messiah Within, Yeshua said that I had to write from the heart. And so when I was writing from the heart, the words would flow onto the page. If I was writing from my mind only, I would be very critical of my writing. And so when you're in the flow and you're doing things from your heart, you will feel and hear the most tremendous wisdom that you can access. All right, we're going to take a break now. You're listening to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Claire, and we'll be right back.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Do you feel like you and your significant other have lost their initial spark? Then let Coach Martez and Wadrina guide you to strengthen your love and reignite that spark on the Coach Martez and Wadrina Layton Show on Transformation Talk Radio. Understanding love, accepting truth, and changing perspective. For more information, make sure you go to dreambuilderscoaching.net. That is dreambuilderscoaching.net.
Hello, and welcome back to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. If you'd like to learn more about me or my work, please go to clarity.com. That's C-L-A-R-E-I-T-Y, or you can find me on Instagram by Clarity by Robin. And so I'd like to offer to the first caller at 800-930-2819, I'd like to offer a copy of the Divine Keys. I'll get that out to you. So we're on the seventh key, become committed. To truly master anything in life, you must first make a commitment to practicing a process. Commitment on the spiritual journey requires that you practice a process that is aligned with the laws of the universe. The law of attraction is a universal law that explains how you can manifest anything in your life. Using this simple model for manifesting abundance can make it easier to become committed. So the law of attraction model says, one, set your intention, two, take right action to achieve your goal, and three, release yourself from struggle by remembering this truth. When you believe it, you will see it. And that was from Dr. Wayne Dyer. And so the way we all know this is that when I see it, I'll believe it. But what he's saying here is that when you believe it, you will see it. So I want you to take that with you. Like, you have to believe it first before you can manifest. And if you're trying to manifest something because something is wrong, you also have to do three things that I've learned subsequent to writing this book. And one is that you have to accept that something is wrong. Sometimes that's really hard for us to accept that something needs to change. So you need to come into acceptance, and then you need to surrender whatever you're suffering over. And for the divine, suffering really means they'll know when you're surrendered. Like, it's not wishful thinking, and it's not like, I wish this would change. For my listeners, in addiction, and you want to come into recovery, you have to really tell the divine with all your conviction that you're giving this up. I am done. Like, and then once you do that, whether it's for addiction or any problem in your life, you have to welcome in the grace. You have to believe that you are worthy of grace. And wherever that grace comes from, whatever connection from any of your earth angels or your non-earth angels, you will, once you're in surrender, truly in surrender, the grace will arrive. All right. Number eight, recognize the signs. The divine speaks to you in a myriad of ways, a verbal message, a feeling, a sign, a gut instinct, synchronistic events, or the arrival of help when you most need it. The most exciting part is that the more you recognize and acknowledge the signs, the more they seem to occur, and the more you notice them. In actuality, the signs are always present, but you must be in a present moment mindset in order to recognize them. When you acknowledge the extraordinary happenings in your life, they happen more often and soon become your normal way of life. So the hardest part about that, I think, I get a lot of signs, but for me, the hardest part is deciphering what the divine is trying to tell me. And because it's really easy to take a message at face value, but the divine doesn't actually talk that way. Their symbols are meant for you to go inside, sit with it, and then see how it really applies to your life. And it's usually different than what you think it was. So I encourage you not to take these signs at face value, unless it's really critical that you do at that moment. But if you can and you have the time, it's important to think on them, because other insights will come to you. All right, the ninth key, stop and listen. The divine guidance that is readily available will eventually become a natural part of your moment-to-moment life experience. To reach this divine way of living, you must learn to distinguish between what is the voice of the divine and what is everyday noise in life. Ways to quiet the mind include meditation, prayer, walking, observing nature, gardening, or even washing dishes. The choices are many, and how you quiet your mind is up to you. The best way to still your emotions is to ask yourself whether you are looking at each situation from a perspective of love or fear. It is the perspective of unconditional love that is the perspective of the divine. Ultimately, as you become more divinely guided, you will not have to stop and listen, for you will be in the flow and always hearing. So what can stop look like, right? What can you do to stop? So for me, especially in this hectic time with family requiring me, what I do is I make a list of the top three things I must get done today, like top three things, and then I do them, and then I stop and I say, what else do I need to do today? What is really critical, and or can I take time to maybe be in nature or listen more closely, meditate? And so take care of what needs to be done, and then find the time to commune with the divine and or with your earthly angels. Okay. Number 10, trust the guidance. In Key 9, you've learned how to stop and listen to the guidance available from the divine. The challenge now is to trust what you are hearing. Are you hearing your ego's logical solution that protects you from harm? Or are you hearing your heart's divinely guided solution? The answer is both. Logic and caution are often warranted, but prioritizing the universal perspective of the divine will help you make the more impactful and beneficial choices of your life. You are invited to think from your heart when making any life decision. When you think from your heart, your decisions will be made with greater compassion for yourself and others. And so that's hard, right? Like you're listening to your thoughts, you're listening to what other people have to say, you're trying to listen to your heart. How do you trust the guidance? So one of the things that I developed along the way, and it helped me to develop my ability to communicate with the divine realm, is I started to believe that every thought that I had, or every interaction that I had, every conversation was actually the divine talking to me. So every person who I'm talking to, whether the information is something I want to hear or something that I don't want to hear, it's still them representing the divine to me. And that gave me a chance to be able to trust the guidance more quickly, because I just then had to learn, what is this interaction and what do I need to learn from it? And can I trust myself to know what is in my highest and best good? All right, we're moving on to number 11, express gratitude. Expressing gratitude is a master key for a divinely guided person. It unlocks many doors. Gratitude is a simple and direct means for becoming and staying deeply connected with the divine. From the moment of awakening throughout the day and before going to bed, expressing gratitude is therefore paramount. Beyond your simple thank you for all your blessings, there are many ways to express gratitude. Being of service to others is a very powerful expression of gratitude. Staying positive and greeting others with a beautiful smile, both are wonderful ways to express your gratitude. The more gratitude you express, the more the world expands to share abundance with you. So there's a wonderful expression, gratitude is an attitude. And when you're in gratitude, you are most likely in a good mood. So if you need to lift your mood for whatever reason, begin to look at what you're most grateful for. I also wake up and do a gratitude exercise where I'm looking at what I'm most, first of all, I'm grateful to be alive. That's the first gratitude. And then gratitude for what's coming up in my day and who I'll be able to influence and who will be able to help me. But then before I go to bed, I also go through the same exercise, you know, thanking the divine for all the interactions that I had and how I could receive support and share. And that actually makes me sleep better. So that's a good sleeping aid as well. And just say thank you all the time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to anyone who helps you with anything. It's just gratitude is an attitude. Okay, the 12th key, take action. Set your intention for what you most desire, listen for guidance, and then take action. Your taking action informs the divine that you are very serious about creating what you intend. Even one small step forward will set the proper energy in motion for you to continue to reach your desired state of abundance. The divine will encourage you to continue moving forward by lighting your path with inspiring ideas and synchronistic events. The divine will also let you know when a course correction may be warranted along the way. Sometimes a course correction can at first feel like frustration and disappointment. Remember, there are no mistakes, only opportunities for course correction. Isn't that great? I want to repeat that. Sometimes a course correction can at first feel like frustration and disappointment. Remember, there are no mistakes, only opportunities for course corrections. And this is something for me that I really had to learn, because I would you know, be moving along in my business or my life, and then something would happen that would just take an opportunity away from me. And at first, I would be really angry that this opportunity disappeared. But what I've learned along the spiritual path is that, I think this was said in The Sound of Music, when God closes a window, he opens a door. I think it's actually the opposite way. So I'll say it the opposite way. When God closes the door, a door, he always opens a window. And what that means is that maybe it's time for a course correction. Maybe what you're actually working on or what you've been doing, maybe if it's the divine's way of saying to you, it's time to change. It's time to shift. And if you can see that, if you can actually, when something happens that takes something away from you, it's very human to become disappointed and frustrated. But if you can immediately shift to the perspective of, well, what's next? I wonder what the divine has in store for me next. That is the best thing that you can do, because that maybe advises the divine that you are ready for what is next on your path. And of course, then follow the other keys that we've talked about already about, you know, how to achieve this by taking action, you know, writing a plan, all of that good stuff. So when you know, and it also puts you, I guess, in surrender, right? Because when you say what's next, then they know that you're ready for your next guidance and for what you can accomplish on not only your spiritual path, but your life path. Okay, so that's the end of the second part. And we're going to take a break now. You're listening to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare. And we'll see you after the break. Thank you.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit transformationtalkradio.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Corinne Beerfield. Every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Corinne and her services as holistic heart-centered counselor, visit CorinneBeerfield.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeonDyer.com.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of Wow Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at wowministriesllc.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi there, it's Robin, and welcome back to Hungry for Answers. chapters. So I'm giving away a copy of The Divine Keys, the book that we're reviewing today, my book, my second book. And so if you call 800-930-2819, I'd be happy to send you a copy of The Divine Keys. Okay, so we're going to do the last set of keys, the 13th through the 18th key. So the 13th key is create sacred space. And I'll read to you what it says. Come, sit, and listen, whispers the divine. The divine speaks quietly using words, signs, and physical sensations such as goosebumps. The best place to hear the divine is in a setting where you feel peaceful, present, and quiet. This deep listening can occur in a meditation space in your home, at a beautiful location in nature, or at a gathering of like-minded community. By creating sacred space in your life, you are inviting the divine into your life with a very clear message that says, I am ready to listen. So I am also a writing coach for people that are writing their self-help biographical books. And the first thing that I recommend to everybody is to create a sacred writing space, because you need a space which becomes the place where you write, because writing is a meditative process. And when you're writing a manuscript, you need to have a lot of quiet time. You need to be able to drop into your heart and write from your heart. So if you have a specific location where you have beautiful things around and great music and it smells good, wherever that is, the creativity that will flow from you is more profound, and it will keep you engaged with the project of writing the book and more committed to it. All right, the 14th key, have faith in your beliefs. Deep in your heart, you are very clear about your beliefs. You have carried forth your beliefs or standards derived from past experiences and the influence of important people in your life. These beliefs and standards have helped to define the person you are today. Yet every moment of every day, other people in the world are constantly shouting their beliefs at you. It's no wonder that confusion is a natural state of mind. You are encouraged to have faith in your beliefs, and you are invited to expand your beliefs to include deeper and richer spiritual teachings. This expanded perspective will enable you to take pride in your personal beliefs while being more tolerant of others' beliefs. So how do you distinguish your beliefs from others? And I'm working with a dear friend, Colleen Morgan, on an upcoming book. And in the book, she talks about the art of mattering. And what we're talking about here is looking and defining what really matters to you. And that, of course, would be your beliefs, right? Does this belief really matter to me? And so mattering happens in the body. So what I would say to you is, if you're struggling about a belief, if you actually even believe your belief anymore, right? Or struggling, what do I believe? Actually, when you truly believe something and it really matters to you, you will actually feel it in your body. That's how I distinguish it. Like, if something is really important to me and I really believe it, and I want to manifest that, I try to, and I am successful at feeling it in the body. If I don't feel it in the body, where mattering happens, where I'm connected to my own spiritual matter, my own inner divinity, I may let it go. I may let it go or put it on hold and say, this doesn't matter to me right now. Or this doesn't matter to me, so I can let it go. Because one of the things that Colleen says is that whatever matters to you, you're going to manifest, right? You're going to make it into matter. So be careful about that, right? Make sure that whatever you're believing about a certain situation, that it really matters to you. So try that. All right. The 15th key is ground the divine in you. Many of us were taught to meditate or pray by going to an imaginary place. This place is outside of your physical vessel and often feels beyond your reach, especially when you need it most, right? Like some mountain in the sky, something. True connection to the divine requires that you find the spiritual place within your own temple, within your inner divinity. Bringing heaven to earth in your meditation by focusing on your own heart center, focus on feeling the loving energy inside your own body rather than in an imaginary place. When your vessel is filled with the loving energy, all the love, peace, and joy that you gathered internally will shine out of you into the world you see. So that's a beautiful thing, right? You are a reflection of what is going on in your inner world. And so for me, I think of myself when I meditate that there's actually a heart's temple with inside of myself, right? And in my meditation, I go to this place, I open the door, it's this beautiful door inside of myself, and there's a beautiful, two beautiful chairs, it's decorated the way that I think would be beautiful, and I sit down on one of the chairs in my, you know, in this meditation, and I have a question, and when I open my eyes, there's typically some being of light, whether it's a deceased loved one or an ascended master who's there to discuss with me what my question is. And then when I have my question answered, or I've spent enough time, and when I look out in the room, there's all types of angels and my deceased puppies and all types of beings. And then when I'm ready, I get up, I walk out the door, I close the door. And again, this is a heart's temple. This is with inside of me. And I come back into my day, right? I come back into the consciousness of my day. So that's just a simple meditation for you to try. Okay. The 16th key, live as love. At this stage of your spiritual journey, you have had many opportunities to experience the love and light of the divine. The ultimate experience is to live as love, in all aspects of life. This means that you no longer allow destructive, fear-based emotions to hijack your attention and steal your divine energy. Processing and then letting go of worry, guilt, hatred, and revenge will make space for the miraculous healing power of love to guide your life. And here's a quote from an unknown author. You'll find, as you look back upon your life, that the moments when you have truly lived are the moments when you have done things in the spirit of love. And so I was thinking about what can I share with you is that very often we ask for what we don't want in life instead of we ask the divine for what we don't want instead of what we do want. So here's a good example around money. Let's say you're having a month where you're short on money and you might say, I can't pay my bills. Can't, right? Not. Cannot. I can't pay my bills. I won't be able to pay my bills. I will not be able to pay my bills. I am not abundant this month. So every time you put that not word in, then the universe can't help you. So what you have to learn to do is change that to I am what you want to be. I am so financially abundant this month that not only can I pay my bills, but I can give to my favorite charity. So you want to start any sentence with I am. And that's important if you want to manifest not what you don't have, but what you do want. I am, I need, I require, I would like to have this. Like, always state what it is that you want and not what you don't want. Okay, the 17th key, integrate mind, body, spirit, and emotion. Being a human being is complicated. Each one of us is comprised of four components, mind, body, spirit, and emotion. Any event that impacts one of the components has a direct effect on all the other components. This level of interconnectedness creates a need to integrate all the components into one highly functioning synergistic being. This can only occur by implementing a healing and growth plan that emphasizes all four components. As a fully integrated and highly functioning being, you align your human being with your spiritual being. From this place, you will learn to love all aspects of yourself in an unconditional manner. When you fill yourself with unconditional love, what overflows from you will always include enough for others. So, unconditional love, just want to remind you that unconditional love is acceptance without judgment. Probably the hardest thing we can do for ourselves and for the people that we love is to accept them without judgment. So that's what we're talking about. If you can fill yourself up with acceptance of yourself without judgment, that love, that unconditional love for yourself will overflow from you and will be more than enough for the people that you love. So we always hear that love yourself first. You know, in the airplane, they say, put your mask on first. This is what we're talking about. Learn to love yourself, acceptance without judgment, in an unconditional manner, and what flows out from you will be more than enough for everyone else in your life, and it'll be a very pure, enjoyable type of love. Yes, and so one last thing on that. In my to-do list, I have categories: mind, body, spirit, and emotion. And I'm always making sure that I'm working on something within all four of those so that I can keep my integrated system healthy. Because if I'm not healthy in one of those four, it will affect the other three. And for me, someone who's in long-term recovery from addiction, I believe that long-term recovery is the ability to live mind, body, spirit, and emotion simultaneously in a wellness program that you've created for yourself that works for you. All right. The 18th key, become one with the divine. By embracing the divine keys, you have opened your awareness to the sacred truth. You are one with the divine. The biggest challenge is remembering that this is true, especially when life distracts you in so many ways to feel separate from the divine. Say aloud, I am one with the divine. Notice what you feel in your body and hear in your mind when you say this aloud. If there is discomfort or disagreement, well, do the divine keys again. The more you repeat the process, the more you will become calm. You will calmly experience that knowing that the divine is just a breath away for guidance and company. Live your divinely guided life with the confidence that the divine is delighted to share your life with you, seeing the world through your extraordinary eyes. And I'd like to leave you with that. Living your divinely guided life with the confidence that the divine is delighted to share your life with you, seeing the world through your extraordinary eyes. So thank you everyone for listening to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, and for listening to my book, The Divine Keys. And again, as always, if you're struggling with addiction, know that there is help for you out in the world. There are programs, therapists, coaches, people that can help you. But there's also the connection to your own inner divinity, which will bring forth grace into your life as well. So both are a form of grace, and you should welcome those into your life and know that you're worthy of the grace that is coming your way. All right, until next time, everybody, have a delightful day. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Hungry for Answers. Learning to love ourselves is the one true solution to addiction. Make a commitment to healing today and see how you can reach your ultimate potential. Remember, you have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, -ITY.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.